Hi everyone, this is Andy Studna, Senior Editor of Applied Clinical Trials, and welcome to another episode of the ACT Podcast. In this episode, we're taking a closer look at the findings from the latest WCG CenterWatch Global Site Relationship Survey, which revealed a notable decline in overall site satisfaction and new challenges around technology, communication, and protocol design. Joining us to unpack the results and share practical strategies for improving sponsor site relationships are Melissa Hutchins, Vice President of Research and Benchmarking at WCG, and Jimmy Garza, Senior Director of Clinical Operations at Bayer. They'll discuss what's driving the decline in site satisfaction, how technology platforms can better support efficiency and usability, and finally, ways to strengthen collaboration through earlier site engagement and improved coordinator support. Let's get started. First off, Melissa and Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Andy, for having me. So excited to talk through this.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. Just a pleasure. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Fantastic. So we'll start off with this first question. This year's survey from WCG shows an industry-wide decline in site satisfaction, dropping below 70% CSAT for the first time. What do you think is driving this decline, and how is your team working to counteract these trends? If I can hear from Melissa, from you first on this.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the biggest drivers of the results of this round of the survey is really the rise in the complexity of protocols. And we're seeing this across the board. Things like number of procedures are rising, more endpoints, more data being captured. All of this complexity is really placing that additional burden on the site, that operational burden to execute those protocols. And in the survey itself, we did see that, you know, most of the steep declines were within that protocol design category. In particular, the protocol patient friendliness attribute showed a large decline, as well as incorporating feedback from sites into the protocol design. I think some other elements that are driving this too are the overload of technology. We know the volume of platforms, and I know we'll talk about this more later, but that's really causing a lot of frustration at site staff. And that's being compounded by really the insufficient support and training that sites feel that they need. Contracting and payments is another area, I think, of a pain point that we see a lot of delays in that space. It's often cited as a space where there's a lot of opportunity for improvement. And then finally, one of the other biggest categories where we saw a large decline was training. And we've seen that a steep decline from when we look at 2019 to 2025, a steep decline of about, you know, almost 20 CSAT points just in the training space alone. And we know sites feel training is lengthy and repetitive. And this is a big area, I think, of opportunity to improve.
Yeah, Melissa, I think, you know, you touched upon a lot of things. I mean, I think we can all appreciate it's multifaceted, without a doubt, as far as, you know, why some of the decline has been seen. I think, too, there is a hugely large demand on sites from the competitive landscape where sponsors are concerned, because, you know, it's important. You know, the U.S. footprint is the most sought after market when you look at it from a global perspective. So we are wanting, you know, the same patients across, you know, the same therapeutic landscapes from the sites. So that definitely lends a burden, you know, to what Melissa had just said. I think also, too, just kind of to reiterate, I mean, the rapid developing environment driven by technology is really, you know, a big focus of what sponsors are trying to meet and, you know, and assess and try to be ahead of that curve. You know, I think you couple that with the patient need and the healthcare complexity definitely lends to how we conduct our clinical trials from a sponsor perspective, which ultimately lends to the burden of how sites are trying to conduct these trials. So I think it's, you know, having a real impact. I mean, the surveys, it's very telling. You know, that's something we have to pay attention to and listen to from a sponsor perspective.
All right, fantastic. Thank you both. Now, for this next part of the discussion here, Jimmy, you know, I'm going to turn to you for, you know, most of this, you know, obviously being at Bayer and, you know, having your boots on the ground. You know, in the survey, technology scored the lowest among all attribute categories in 2025, with site citing challenges around efficiency, usability, and training. So, Jimmy, how are you ensuring that technology platforms enhance rather than create challenges for sites?
Yeah, I think it's something that we're trying to really glean from what sites needs. I mean, the technological space, it's so broad in the range where you have multiple vendors. I think, you know, as we're seeing sponsors are they tend to be just inclined to use some versus others. Like for example, at Bayer, we use Veeva. I think a lot of sponsors are sort of moving in the Veeva direction. You know, it's multi-pronged when it comes to a systems perspective, but at the same time, you know, sites are using all other types of EDC platforms, you know, CTMS platforms. So I can appreciate, you know, why sites would feel technology is also too, you know, a bit of a burden. I think we need to be more customer focused when it comes to sites where we maybe have sort of a white glove service and really have dedicated support from the sponsor side to be able to help facilitate and guide sites through some of the challenges and obstacles they might see from the technology perspective. I think, you know, regular and demonstrative showings of how the system works and operates, because we have so many different clicks within a portal or a system, it can be overwhelming to put it plainly when it comes to sites. So I think, you know, that sort of access to troubleshooting is going to be beneficial across the board. But in the end, I think as sponsors, we need to try to consolidate when and where we can. You know, it's a big ask because there's a lot of time, resource, and money when we look at this. So I think if we can somehow really present that in a manner that sites can appreciate, I think they will, you know, look to work with us a bit more because it is. I mean, you know, coming from a site side and that experience, you know, I can appreciate, you know, the volume that really is involved when it comes to the loads of technology and never mind the AI component, which I'm sure we'll get into in a bit, but you know, you just bring that and it just lends to the frustration.
Yeah, Jimmy, and I think from sponsors, we've heard consistently that they know this is a big challenge, right? Even sponsors that are performing at the top end of this category of technology, they are telling us, like, we are really the best of the worst in this category. Like, this is a challenge that we're all facing and need to improve. And some of the other things we heard from other sponsors was really focusing on eliminating that duplicate tasks that study coordinators have to perform. So, for example, entering things into multiple systems, like that should not be something that they have to do. So really improving that the interoperability of the systems. And that's a big focus for a lot of sponsors. And Jimmy mentioned the white glove service. I think that's one area where sponsors have said having that central point of contact, someone who can really help and understands the system, is key. And some sponsors have called that, you know, that role being worth its weight in gold in terms of helping sites navigate the technology.
All right, fantastic. Thank you both. Now, moving on to the next question. You know, another finding from the survey. One of the largest drops in satisfaction came from sites feeling excluded from protocol design. Jimmy, how are you incorporating site feedback earlier and more consistently into your study planning processes?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I think it's a probably, at least from my perspective, one of the largest issues and areas of a challenge that we see from a sponsor perspective. Again, the pace is so rapid where we are trying to find our own, you know, place and sitting when it comes to bringing important therapeutics and treatments to patients. It's just the breakneck speed. I can't really put it into words other than the demand is so high. You know, it's important that we have to really focus on the patient need. I mean, not just the patients, maybe even, you know, the families and caretakers that are involved. I think at Bayer, what, you know, is important and, you know, and really great to recognize is that we are looking at patient advocacy groups to really get that input as soon as we possibly can, you know, from the patient perspective, because without that, you know, it really can be detrimental to how we design some of these protocols. You know, in a perfect world, I mean, we would like for patients to drive this as much as possible. But I think the other piece too that we have to do a better job on the sponsor side is really articulate to sites just how much of a complexity therein lies when it comes to regulatory requirements and landscapes, because sometimes health authorities can really put some requirements on our protocol designs that tend to, impact how we're going to, incorporate some of these changes. I think we are, again, looking more towards patient-centric aptitudes because, again, without that, we can't really function in the best space because we have to understand real-world applications. The burden, again, that has to go upon these patients is really impactful to us, and we have to be more, I think, diligent in listening to these patients. But I think we're in a good space where we're moving forward, keeping those things in line. Timing is sometimes everything, where it may be a bit out of our control, but we do feel that the patient is really the true focus and center of this.
And some of the other things we've heard, of course, following that theme of being patient-centric is broadening that range of feedback that sponsors are getting, of course, including the patient and caregivers, but also broadening the range of types of sites where they're getting feedback, as well as the roles within the sites as well, because it tends to be very heavy towards investigators or KOLs as in the past. Another topic we're hearing a lot about is trial simulations and really creating simulations where both the patient can walk through what they can expect from that particular study and give feedback, and then also the site staff walking through the trial and giving feedback. And those simulations seem to really help give sponsors valuable information at the outset.
Just one other follow-up to that, Andy. I think, one of the things that I think all sponsors are doing is really going back to the AI component. I mean, we're trying to see how we can really apply that technology. It's still, a developing space, but I think it's just, again, progressing so fast and rapidly, where we want to be able to utilize AI for best outputs when it comes to protocol design, taking a lot of comparisons and factors into place, using digital twin, models, things of that nature. So we hope to master that in some form or fashion down the road. But a lot of sponsors are pushing towards where we can write quicker, better protocols, to incorporate, where patient needs are concerned.
All right, fantastic. Now, moving on to our next question, to set the stage here. The survey shows a significant satisfaction gap between investigators and study coordinators. So, Jimmy, what steps are you taking to support coordinators more directly and improve their day-to-day experience?
Yeah, I think that's really great to note, Andy, because I think first and foremost, from a sponsor perspective, we truly understand the complexities that the study coordinators have to do when it comes to the operation of these clinical trials. I mean, they are typically our first line when it comes to interaction and complexity, and whether there's a problem with the site, we always tend to raise with the study coordinator directly. I think there does need to be some alignment, between the PIs and the study coordinators. I mean, to be honest, I mean, again, we require different things from the two different roles, but at the same time, we do appreciate when it comes to study coordinator satisfaction, because in the end, when it comes to these, data crunches or query resolutions, we really rely on study coordinators. So I think one of the things at Bayer that has shown to be really beneficial is the consistency of resourcing. Whenever we assign CRAs or clinical trial managers, we try to keep them as consistent as we possibly can, because it brings familiarity to the site. And I think they appreciate that. And that goes a long way because, I mean, we've gone through, quite a significant restructuring at Bayer, where we've been able to eliminate layers, where sites can have, almost direct access or immediate direct access to some of our clinicians. I think they've had that before, but it's even done in a different manner and model that maybe we hadn't done previously at Bayer. But I think at the same time, we always look for ongoing feedback. We've talked about doing, regular interval sort of surveys with sites. I mean, we always want the, the organic and real-time feedback as sites experience them because, again, without their input, it's hard to sometimes determine what the need truly is. And it's really important that also too that the study coordinators are as vocal as they can, because they're going to be our main source where we want to change things.
Yeah, I think Jimmy, you covered, the basis of what we've heard across sponsors. The only thing I'll add is, and I know we talked about technology as something that's been burdensome, but I think there is space here, for technology to be used in a positive way to help study coordinators automate some of the tasks that they have to do. So we hear a lot about the need to streamline the tasks that they're doing daily, or even the requests they're receiving, if there's a way for technology to help automate that, especially when it comes to repetitive data entry or putting repetitive items into multiple systems and things like that. Is there a way that technology can help in that space?
All right, great. And now we will get into this last question here. So another finding from the survey was that sites place the highest importance on sponsor communication and clinical operation support, with top-rated attributes including communication with study staff, professionalism of monitors, and access to escalation pathways. So Jimmy, back to you for this question again. What practices do you believe are most effective in strengthening these areas of sponsor-site collaboration?
I think at Bayer we've come full circle, Andy. I mean, you've seen different versions of CRA and monitoring models, over the course of the last maybe couple of decades even. I think where before you had very dedicated, expertise roles, a lot of different aspects of the teams were in vacuums or in silos, like dedicated study startup or, even contracts and budgets where they have their place. But now, I mean, we really put a lot of emphasis on CRAs being a sort of well-rounded, trial site manager instead of just, a CRA that's checking a box. So I think that's been really important, at least for what we've done at Bayer, given our progression and how we're updating our own models. I think from a more industry-wide perspective, you're going to get some variability. I know sponsors have dedicated roles or liaisons where they really just focus in on the relationship component. And I think, again, you're going to get a mixed bag. Some sponsors, have great success in that, where others may not feel the same approach is warranted. But I think, again, it's all about the availability of our teams, whether at the local level with the site management teams or even at the global level to study teams. So the fact, again, that we make ourselves really available to the sites has been really a great payoff for us. So I think more to come, but that's kind of the direction we are moving in from a buyer perspective. And again, where sponsors may choose other pathways.
And I think from the survey, we saw clearly that while protocol design was the number one important attribute, following that are these soft skills and relationship factors. So these things like communication and professionalism. And I think, Jimmy's right that really focusing on that human aspect of the relationship is really going to help us improve the relationships across the board.
All right, great. Well, with that, Jimmy and Melissa, thank you both so much for joining me today. And, thank you for your time and, the chance to highlight, some really important findings from the industry. So thank you again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Andy. It's a pleasure.